Wednesday afternoon, Chayvus Halvavus Lady Shir, Shar Avodus Halokim, we're still in the Psicha. It's Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Tavshin Ayin Hey, January, what is it? January 21st. Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Wednesday afternoon, Shar Avodus Halokim. Okay, we're in the Psicha, Shar Avodus Halokim. And Ho'elokim, actually, Shara Vodas Ho'elokim. And Ho'elokim is talking about gratitude and expressing, feeling gratitude, not just expressing gratitude, but expressing it as expressing our emotion, that we really feel grateful. He says, he goes through three, he lists five relationships in which, you know, if we look at life and we say, like, who's grateful? Who would be grateful? So he has the father and the parent and the child, and the master and the slave, or we would say nowadays the employer and the employee, the rich person and the poor person, friends, relationships, just friendly social relationships, people do favors one for another, and the powerful and the weak, you know, an offshoot of number three. And we would say perhaps simply, but it's reality based, he says, you know, they're really all at least tinged, and maybe even more than tinged, with self-interest. They're not totally altruistic. It's very difficult to be totally altruistic. I guess, you know, it's possible, but is talking generally, is talking in the normal world, is usually an element, at least an element of self-interest. And he says, but still, we feel, and we're mechuyev to feel, and we're obligated to feel completely grateful. And we would be lacking in menschlichkeit, because that's how Hashem wired us. We'd be lacking in menschlichkeit if we wouldn't feel grateful. But he says, certainly the amount of gratitude that one should feel should be like on a sliding scale with the amount of altruism involved. And his point, of course, is that anything Hashem does for us, first of all, is altruistic. So if you look at what Hashem does for us, which is everything, including our very existence, Kol Shekein life, Kol Shekein life as a human, Kol Shekein life as a Jew, Kol Shekein life as a woman. I'm just saying that because you're my audience. And so you start adding up things, and then like, how could that compare to any favor anyone does for anyone else? I mean, even if someone saves your life, but okay, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us existence and life and continues to give us, and it's totally altruistic. He spends the psicha, we'll continue now with the psicha. The psicha means like an introduction. He calls each section of the book a shar, a gate. So this is the psicha, this is like to open up the gate. So this is all the background of Shar Avodas Ho'elokim, because his guiding principle will be that our Avodas Ho'elokim is to be based on gratitude, meaning everything we do is not because we want a reward, and not because we're afraid of punishment, and not because Hashem's stronger than us, and not because, I don't know, we were born Jewish, so like we're stuck. And not even because we have good lives, because if you keep Torah and Mitzvah, a society that keeps Torah and Mitzvah is a very smooth functioning society. It's a very compassionate society. It's rather mostly capitalist society, which is very good. The best kind of economy is a capitalist economy. It has the mitzvah of tzedakah, it has the iser ona'a, it has the iser of ribis, so it has like its socialistic red lines that doesn't allow what my teacher used to teach us, I still remember from high school, laissez-faire capitalism. Right? It doesn't run away with itself, because you have the iser of overcharging and the iser of interest, and the issur of, and also you know that exploit workers. See, these are all issurim. So in a Torah society, the capitalism and the competition, which is great, the best kind of marketplace and the best for the consumer, is not allowed to get out of hand because of the Isurim, the Torah, which are Magbil, which really make red lines so that, and Bezdin enforces those laws. And then getting back to the point, that's not even the reason to be Ovid Hashem, because I want to have a great life and a great relationship with my spouse and a great relationship with my children. That's not even, the reason is, it's our way of saying thank you. And that's what he's going to explain in the Psicha. Now he's on to another Kal Vachomer. First is, look what Hashem gives us. The second is totally altruistic. And now he says another point. He says, you know, all of these five relationships that I just explained that we feel gratitude to, I occupy the same world as the person that does me the favor. It's just that we're in the same ballpark. It's just that person is rich and I'm poor. You know, those are the it's circumstantial. The differences between us and the reason he does for me or she does for me, and I'm the recipient of the beneficence of the giver, and I therefore feel gratitude. You know, but we're all in the same ballpark. But let's say you had this superhuman doing something for a subhuman, like where they weren't even, like you do something for an animal. Imagine that. Like, so imagine if the animal would have feelings of gratitude, it would be multiplied many fold, says the Chayim Salvavos, because like this superior being deigns to care about me and to do something for me and to interest itself in my life, when it's really like we don't occupy the same dimension. So whatever muscle you would give to yourself, a race of supermen versus animals or subhumans, he says, Hashem, that's Hashem and us. In other words, these are all things we're supposed to think about, because the Chayim Salavos wants us to feel grateful, not just to talk the talk, but to actually, and then, you know, and he's going to explain in the Psicha that a person should walk around really bursting with gratitude to Hashem. You know, we don't, unfortunately. I mean, this is why the Chayim Salavos is such an early work, but I think it really solves so many issues of relationship with Hashem and thinking about Hashem and thinking about Hashem when we do mitzvahs. It really is the key. It's such an essential, beautiful component, because it's more than a component, it's our very lives. So let's say I know Hashem gives me sight. But to feel grateful, you have to work on that. That's what he's going to say. You have to work on feeling grateful, because it doesn't come naturally, and he will explain soon why it doesn't come naturally, why we have to be taught to work on feeling grateful for the fact that I can see. And maybe you have to go to the blind museum to really, really, you know, start to appreciate it. Okay, so he's making the point now that Hashem is so not, we are so not in Hashem's league, that that itself becomes a great reason, a component for feeling grateful. He says, "V'chashe nivchon al hakosha hazos." If we think about, if we examine this comparison, meaning that superhuman with the subhuman, al hakosha dvar haborius borach. If we think about Hashem vis-a-vis people, v'nei adam sechlenu, nimtza haborius borach. Obviously, is nala v'nisa umaroma. I'll call Nimtza, he's exalted and above anything. And Hashem is Hashem. Hashem has no, you know, Hashem. It's really, we can't fathom Hashem, we can't wrap our minds around him. He's limitless. He's everything, he's the source of everything. I'm trying a little to explain this in Shara Yichud, to have some kind of, to fathom the unfathomability of Hashem, and versus a person. And now he's not satisfied with saying a person is flesh and blood. He's going to say why a person in many ways is the most inferior of beings, and physically speaking, animals are far superior to humans. Physically speaking. And he's going to explain that right now. So you have Hashem like on one end of the spectrum, even though Hashem is not even on the spectrum, Chas v'Shalom. Hashem is above the spectrum. Hashem made the spectrum. And we are at the other end of the spectrum. So what Hashem does for us, and it's totally altruistic. And now you have that Hashem is like, why should he even deign to have any connection with us, which was a major source for the Mikshor of Avodah Zorah throughout history, probably until in the days of the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, there was a special tfilos, a special accomplishment on the part of Ezra and Nehemiah and the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah to remove the taiva for Avodah Zorah. So even though Avodah Zorah now like blankets the world with atheism, thanks to our friends Freud and Marx and Darwin, so there's atheism is the basic, the world is atheistic. I mean, they can go to church as much as they want, but to really believe in a creator and there's Ashbacha, the world is atheistic. Well, the Avodah Zorah were never atheists. It was a different mindset. Everybody believed in a God. Everybody believed in a creator. And they didn't just pay lip service to it. They really, really believed. The problem was they created Avodah Zorah, which cut off our connection with Hashem because of this very difficult. It's not a simple thing. It's not because we're so smart that we understand it. It's because we're so not smart that we just assume that, yeah, Hashem looks at us and Hashem cares about us and Hashem is involved in our lives. It's really theologically unimaginable. Like, how could he? Where could he? Hashem is limitless. How can he involve himself in a world of limits? Kabbalistically, it's a very, very, very difficult thing how Hashem even created the world. Not how, because Hashem can do anything, but Hashem can't do anything, can't do something which is contradictory to the nature of him being Hashem. Right? That's called can't. I mean, it's a contradiction to what Hashem is. But he created a world with limits, with time and space, and finite limitations, which is, how can he do that? Anything, because Hashem doesn't create a world like I create a shtender, right? The world is Hashem, the world is the Ratzon Hashem, the world is Chachmas Hashem, and if Chachmas Hashem and Ratzon Hashem is limitless, how can out of limitlessness come a limited world? It's really very, very difficult. Baruch Hashem, we're not smart enough to even understand the question. So we don't walk around bothered by this. You know, we walk around bothered by other things, like am I going to meet the rent and the mortgage payment this month? We don't walk around with these shilas, but they are very difficult shilas, and that's why Avodah Zorah sprang up and was such a huge. You know, we understand, let's say, Yetzirah for Arayos, or the Yetzirah for Kavod, or the Yetzirah for money. We don't get the Yetzirah for Avodah Zorah, but that's a Yetzirah for Avodah Zorah, like a type of Avodah Zorah, but that's because of that special, amazing, accomplishment that the Nevi'im and Ezra and Nehemiah did at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, that they davened to Hashem, and they said, well, this is a scourge of humanity, and we can't have this, we can't deal with this. And they wanted to do the same thing for Avodah Zorah of Arayas, but then they tried, and what happened? People stopped getting married, people stopped having children, and they said, okay, we can't do this, but we have to go back to it, and we just, we'll do the best we can. But it is a kasha, but the Chavilolos wants us at least to have it exponentially increase our feelings of gratitude. Like Hashem is connecting to human, and not just human beings, but human beings as on the lower end of the animal kingdom, he says. We're, not only are we physical, but we're the weakest of the animal kingdom, and we're the most helpless of the animal kingdom. The Yirah Chazeh B'Shloshin Yonim. This manifests itself in three ways. Echad Mehem. How long does it take don't know, you don't know the answer, maybe you do know the answer. It doesn't take that long for an animal to be independent. A couple months, maybe, a couple weeks, maybe even by some animals a couple days. I have a 37-year-old son. So. we you know, we're that's a great boy. Great. I like to kid him about this because he's working in a place with real Mesiris Nefesh and he's not getting paid. And he's working in a yeshiva for boys who are on the way back, and Kesher. And he's really, he's amazing because he doesn't want to give it up. So I kid him about it and I try to help him out as much as I can. So he says, first of all, man is the weakest because the three ways. Number one, Binyan Gidul Al Balanusa, in his maturing, in his becoming independent, in his taking care of himself. All other living creatures are stronger. They can care for themselves. They can deal with what goes on in life. They can raise themselves, basically. I mean, they become independent very quickly. So that's number one. And an animal becomes basically independent very, very quickly. Number two, a person is much, a person gets dirty quicker, a person's excrement, he's going to say, smells worse than any animal's. A person decomposes much more than animals do and smells worse. A person is full of phlegm and all the kinds of garbage. Chazal says a person is much worse than an animal and he has to bathe. Animals don't have to take showers every day, I don't know. They lick themselves clean, I think. At least it's only cats, I don't know. They do something. Or they just go out in the rain and they clean themselves off. Or they don't get dirty so fast. But a person sweats a lot and all these things. You know, Kabbalah says, so that's number two, why a person physically is on a lower rung than an animal. Number one is how that a person is helpless for much longer than any animal. Number two is his filth and his dirt. Umashinira olam bichutz mimashi. Who karu mehem, things outside the body. Shu nimne, when he neglects washing, vanakius, and cleaning himself. Yomim rabin for a few days. Vechenkasha yomus, when he dies. Kizu amoso yosek vedem. He calls uamos called niblo shorbalechayim. His odor of his dead body is more offensive, it's worse than carcasses of other creatures. But so also his excrement, Yosef Mesrachas Mitzor Shor Balichayim, Chen Shor Tinuf of his other wastes. That's number two. But you know, Shlishi is that a person doesn't have as finely honed an instinct as an animal does. A person has to get by with his seichel. So if a person loses his seichel, he becomes like he can do things that are very dangerous. He can walk across the street and get hit by a car. He can burn himself. He doesn't have an instinct of self-preservation as strongly as an animal does. So his helplessness, when he loses the power of speech, which is the way we talk about human intelligence, so in that we have superiority, but if something happens to that, let's say he has a head injury, he becomes confused. I don't know, do animals get Alzheimer's? Is there such a thing? Whatever, I don't know, maybe not, maybe there's no such thing. Because an animal has instinct and they keep that instinct. A person can hurt himself if he's not completely sane, if he's not his seichel, or if he doesn't know how to protect himself. An animal has an instinct for self-preservation. They know by instinct, but that ain't going to cost them what's good for them. Right? Animals don't have to go to trade school. animals don't have to go to college, they don't have to go to vocational school, they manage to have their parnosa, right? Because Hashem allows them by instinct to get their parnosa. You can't say that about people, even if they're very intelligent. If they don't learn to earn a parnosa, they're not going to have a parnosa.
Animals don't have mortgages.
What? Animals don't have mortgages, right. So they have, and they're always on vacation. Person that loses a seichel. Anyway, so when you consider this, Al Gadula Sabore Yisala, on how great, majestic Hashem is, the Otsim Yicholto, and he's omnipotent, the Chachmaso, the Oshro. When we look b'chalishus ha'odom v'chesrono at the weakness and deficiencies of mankind, v'she'enu magiel ha'shleimus, how far he is from perfection, v'rov sorcho, his neediness, v'risho, and his necessity, l'dover she'imali machsoro, okay. Then he says, okay. So now I'm so bursting with gratitude that I'm going to burst. Chazalos is not finished with us yet. He's now going to say, and this is such a typical Cholos Halvolos point, it's mamish kedai to listen to, and everybody, those who haven't been here a few years, will nod and say, yeah, right, this is very typical of the Cholos Halvolos. He says, another thing you have to be grateful for is that man has these limitations. You say, what? Is there a mistake in the print here? No, because by having these limitations, we realize how dependent we are on Hashem. And an animal doesn't have that. So Hashem created us with these built-in limitations so that we have an opportunity to be grateful to Him, for fulfilling those needs. And if we wouldn't have these limitations, so we would much more easily than now, if that would be possible, but much more easily than now, feel that kochi v'otzim yodi, we feel that we don't need Hashem, we have. But if we feel a lack, so we only survive because of Hashem's goodness. The nizcha, and we should reflect upon, we should examine, rov tovus habori yizbar v'chazdo aleinu v'shebarohu, and how he created man, kamosha barohu menachisorim ba'atzmo, with those limitations, for who rush. So he's the tzorech. He's dependent on mashi yesh bo takanoso. So he's dependent on things that allow him to survive. V'lo yagia elov kiyim yagia snafsho, through working on it. The same in chemlos aborial. We see that it's not automatic. It's not built in. We have to get a job. We have to be able to connect to people. We have to be able to be in a position to survive. People need other people. So, who sends that? Right? So we start reflecting how Hashem makes sure that we have everything we need. Because on my own, I have nothing. So he will devote himself to serving Hashem, because that's the way to say thank you. And on top of that, the Kabbalah said, Gemul Olam Habor, Shalom Nivra. And on top of that, you get Olam Haba. So like, not only are all these things so natural and built in and normal and compelling and fulfilling, etc., etc., but then Hashem turns around and rewards us for utilizing the powers that He gave us. So all we're doing is using His powers. You know, the Gemara says, the Medrash says, you know, you do a mitzvah, you're feeling pretty good about yourself, you built the makkah, you know, you built the guardrail on your roof, you say, yeah, I did a mitzvah. Okay, Hashem, you know, thank me, I did a mitzvah. But who gave you the house, says the Medrash? Who gave you the ability to build the makkah? This is Hashem's house, Hashem's makkah. You put up a mezuzah, who gave you the house? You put on tzitzis, who gave you the clothing? You put on a mezuzah, who gave you the house? Like anything, anywhere you turn, it's really comes back to Hashem's granting it to us. So the rewarding us for it is again, like another dimension of gratitude. In Shar Avodas Elokim, he's not going to teach us how to feel grateful. This is all in the Psicha, where he's telling us, I hope everybody here has learned to Shar HaBechina, and therefore everybody has all the tools necessary for an overwhelming feeling of gratitude in our lives. And then we can take it to the next step of Avodas Elokim, because the Shar is about serving Hashem. But he makes clear in the first few Prokim, and he's laying the groundwork here, that service of Hashem is all one big thank you. It's all one big expression of gratitude. And as we explained last week, it's not just a question of being polite. It's a question of admitting that we owe it to Hashem. The gratefulness is the reason the word for gratefulness and his mission is the same word in Hebrew, is because it is the same thing. I'm admitting that I can't do it on my own. I'm admitting I need someone else. I need Hashem. So that's a very ego-bruising admission. That's, he's going to say, that's one of the main roadblocks, mental roadblocks, to really feeling grateful, because I have to take away from myself, from my feeling of power, from my feeling of yicholes, that I can take care of myself, from my independence, right? And every person has this ego, and we feel we can do it. And we'll mutter a Baruch Hashem, you know, just to pay the tax and get through the toll. But to really feel that we have nothing and we're totally dependent on Hashem is quite a difficult task. But it makes us obligated to serve Him. And the context of serving Hashem is saying thank you. Every mitzvah is a way of saying thank you. Every mitzvah should be done in that spirit. Hashem, you want me to do this? No problem. Look what you do for me. And the irony is, of course, that we do nothing for Hashem in any event. It all bounces back to get us to Olam Haba, to bond with Hashem. So everything, but then we have to thank Hashem for that, and that's why it's never ending. That's why, you know, what do the malachim do a whole day? They sit and they praise Hashem. They don't have mitzvahs to do. So they just say thank you. They just praise Hashem. Thank you, praise. We said Hallel today. So, you know, Yodu b'varchu b'shavu b'farru b'romamu b'yaritzu b'yakdishu b'yamlichu Hashem chomalkenu b'yachotov l'hodos u'Hashem chonoh l'zamer. One day, this is not only going to have a class learning what all these words mean. One day we're going to learn what all these words mean. Because we say it always, davening, and we, you know. And Berachi of Kalasher Hikdamdum and Shevach Menayodav Odom Ksosim Ksosim. We explain how people feel grateful to other people, and therefore we just said that with Hashem it's like just. Vimyesh Ish Sochol, there would be a fool. Shecholet Bechiv Kolzel Aborius Baruch Halo Odom. In case there's someone out there, that's why Shar HaBechina teaches us to feel that way. Here he's just putting it in the context in order to proceed with Shar HaVodas HaLokim. He's saying, and I have to tell you this because there's a foolish person, Shecholik Bechil Chazel Boreas Baruch HaLodim, who would dispute my obligation to feel grateful to Hashem. Shumavchin Umasbonim Vinyanazeh, if he thinks about it, then he thinks about anything. You know, all the things that the Chazal has talked about, Shar HaBechina, Umodo Bamas Alatzo, he would have to admit that. Of course, he has to thank Hashem. And again, Shar HaBechina goes through everything. He focuses on biology, but he mentions, at least in passing, all the disciplines of science, whether it's physics or chemistry or zoology or plant life, astronomy, etc. And he talks about history, you know, how did I get to where I am now? You know, we're born helpless infants, and like boom, 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 I'm married, I have children, I have a house to live in, I'm an Eretz Yisrael, I'm Jewish. How'd I get there? It's like a dream.
But we focus on our problems. But for that, we have to learn Shaar HaBechina, not Shaar HaBechina. Shaar HaBechina talks about why people find it so hard to feel gratitude to Hashem, to feel grateful, to really feel that way. Because if we would feel that way, Avodah Zarah would be a snap. Sure, like, don't tell me what to do. As we say many times to people who did something for us, how can I thank you? And we have this need and this urge. When we really feel grateful, we feel a debt of gratitude, and we can't rest till we fill it up. We feel unsettled. We can't sleep. Tell me what I can do to show you my appreciation, to acknowledge what you did for me. Hashem created us that way. Why? Hashem created us that way. Hashem created us. If it's in the human psyche, it's Hashem's creation. Ah, because that's how we serve Him. That's why Hashem created man that way. So when you see yourself saying to someone who let your son stay by them for a week when you went away on vacation, and like, oh, what can I do for you? So you should know that that emotion is put there by Hashem, so that multiplied by 1,000,000,000 times, that's how you should feel about Hashem. Tell me, what can I do for you? That's all you want me to do. You want me to thank you before I eat something? That's all. Oh, that's great. So if you're sleepy and you're foolish, hello, yeah, and you're shame, it's very poetic. You'll wake up, the Afrin Haksil, the foolish person will be discerning, the Yaskil Hamaskil, Beirur, the clarity of Chiyuv Kabbalos Avodas Elokim, the obligation to accept. It's very, very, why do we have to serve Hashem? And this is his answer. Not a question of why. The answer to the why is because we have to express our gratitude to Him. Just like we have to express our gratitude from child to parent, from servant to slave to master, employee to employer, friend to friend, and weak to powerful, or poor to rich. In Be'er Harayas of Pirsum Ha'edim Amitas Hamosim, the evidence that Hashem is responsible for everything in our lives, which we learned in Shaar HaYichud, that's what it is. It's such a logical building. Shaar HaYichud says Hashem is everything. Shaar HaBechina means look what He does for you. And now we're up to Shaar HaVodas Elokim. Moshe Rabbeinu Yalav HaShalom L'Mishe Salam Yayim B'Kabbalas HaVodas Elokim is Barach. Very short, pungent sentence. Hal Hashem tikbul uzos am navol v'lo chacham. Is this the way you repay Hashem for all He has done for you? You foolish people. And Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Hashem gave us the Torah. Hashem atol v'chartol v'kol v'amim. Ha'avto son of Ratzisa bono. V'ratol v'kol v'lashono. V'kit ashton v'mitzol seda. V'kiravtol v'alkein l'vodo seda. V'shimcha agadol v'akadosh olenu karosa. I go, why? Like, we should say that every day. That should be our mantra. When we finish thanking Hashem for all the things He talks about Shaar HaBechina, He barely touches upon being Jewish. That's such a whole other dimension of the Chaton and Mikolam. In Cain, for his Barachi of Kabbalah, that's the purpose of the Psicha. Why am I obligated to serve Hashem? And this is a question that a questioning teenager or a questioning adult, they ask it. And Chayalovitz is not afraid to throw out the question. Why should I? I don't want to. I don't want to keep Shabbos. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Now, he might not like the answer, because he says, I don't want to say thank you to Aunt Molly either. Right? But the truth is, he doesn't want to say thank you to Aunt Molly for the beautiful necktie she bought on his birthday, because he doesn't want a necktie for his birthday. But if she gave him something he wanted, she gave him box seats at a World Series game, you wouldn't have to tell him to say thank you. He wouldn't know what to do to express his gratitude. Because this is something he feels the gratitude. So you don't have to prompt him to say anything. You really must. So that's the point. That Hashem wired us to have this debt of gratitude and to understand. And He set up the Torah, which He will explain in the first few program of Avodas Elokim, as a way of saying thank you. So that's
said the very first week, it's a beautiful way to understand our obligation to serve Hashem, because it comes from inside of us. It's not an outside force that compels us to do anything. We want to serve Hashem. We feel we must. How could we not? We want to. Please tell me what to do. Let me do more. There are 10 aspects to this subject, and they will be the 10 prokim of Shara Avodas HaElokim. Echad Mehem, number one, and these are the prokim, like a table of contents, if you will. Number one, Ha'ora al Avodah v'chalokeha, awareness of this obligation. V'asheni b'tzorech ha'nevi al kol chelek v'chalokeha, the need to study how to gain this awareness. Vashlishi together avoda. What does it mean to serve Hashem? What the polel do you have to do? That's the mitzvahs. Go through them. V'chalokeha maloseha. V'ravi b'tzuras ha'ora ha'toriya v'chalokeha. The way that the Torah teaches us what we're supposed to do. U'mailas ha'noshim b'idiyah sefer Torah v'ras in yonav. And the different levels people attain in understanding that, because someone can tell me to do something, and someone says, bring me a glass of water, and I go bring him a glass of water, but I don't really understand why he needs it. I don't understand like the inner message there that he needs it and he's thirsty. The more you study Torah, the more you even understand what you're doing. On the most basic level, I'm saying thank you, and you don't understand how or why. Like, so I'm not drinking a glass of milk 15 minutes after I ate a piece of chicken. Okay, Hashem, okay. But if you understand it, how much more meaningful is that? Thank you. Wow. Like, you understand why this is a good thing to do. Why Hashem wants you to do this. Why Hashem wants you to thank Him by, how am I a better Jew? How am I a better person? How is this a thank you? By not eating and not drinking milk. So you say, well, on the most basic level, Hashem told me not to. Okay. That's true, but that's so, because the Lord will explain, such a pity if you only function on that level. It's wonderful, and it's certainly better than not functioning on that level. But it's such a pity to not drink that milk, not have that ice cream, milk ice cream. Not having, now Hashem knows we wouldn't be home in the science who created paradise. I am so old that when they started having paradise ice cream, there's a din in Shulchan Aruch that if you have something that looks milky on the table with flavors, like coconut milk, so you have to have the coconut on the table. I'm so old that I remember when they first started having paradise ice cream at weddings and this, the caterer, they talk to Rabban and Paskin, they have to have the box or the wrapper that is part of the ice cream on the table when they serve it, even though it doesn't look so nice. But you have to, because then, as the years went on, it became so natural and normal, so then they dropped that requirement. But like, no one would even think maybe it's milkshakes. Except if they say, ooh, this tastes milkshakes, then you go, yikes! Okay, Bachamishi. How you develop an inbred sense of your own way of understanding the thank you. Very interesting format. This takes on a fascinating format that it doesn't do in any other shahr. It becomes like a question answer. The format of the sefer becomes question answer. Different types of duties based on the different tovos that Hashem does. Like the Rebbe says, the Zion mitzvahs b'nei Noach, all these things like biology and chemistry and physics and gravity and zoology and astronomy, all that are reasons why the Goyim have to serve being Jewish. And that is the Goyim's obligation to do the seven mitzvahs of b'nei Noach is also thank you. And all these things he mentions in the Shar, almost everything, is all universal. It's universal, nothing to do with being Jewish. Then, because Atova Chartona Mikol HaAmim, and he made a special relationship with us, so we have 613 mitzvahs. We have more ways of saying thank you, because we have more to thank him for. And a Kohen has more to thank Hashem for than a Yisrael, because he has more mitzvahs, and he gets to serve at the Beis HaMikdash, so he has more mitzvahs. That's what he explains, that it's always a sliding scale. Hashvi is very personal. Hashvi is that is always true. If you feel blessed by Hashem more than other people, you look around and other people are struggling with parnasa, and you, Baruch Hashem, you're not. I want to meet you, by the way. Other people have a sucking with their children, and you don't. A lot of people, you know, you have an obligation. Someone in the someone like just had a whole rush of simchas in a row. So I told him, this guy was halalus in Perek Shvi, that if you have to increase your avodas Hashem. And it's very logical, because we're going to the Chavis Avodas Hashem is thanking Hashem. And if you have more to say thank you for, you have to increase your start of giving. A man has to increase his Torah learning, increase chesed. You have to do more, because you have, and he compares it to, you know, he says, you have to give a tenth of your field, let's say, to Meiser. Take an easy example, a tenth. But if you have a bigger field, you're giving much more. And why is that fear? If you have 100 bushels, if you have 10 bushels, you give 1 bushel. If you have 100 bushels and you give 5, you get an aveira. He gave 1, I gave 5. Why? Because you have 100. You have 100, you have to say thank you more. So the thank you, it's not like, because I said 10% and that's it. Well, there's a logic there. Because I gave you 100 bushels. So you can't get away with giving 5 bushels away. You have to give 10 bushels away because you have more. And that's the Chavis of Ovis' muscle. And therefore, anytime you feel a chef, and that's why, anytime you, you know, take number 6, chapter 6 is non-Jew, Jew, Levi, Kohen, you know, they have more obligations, more mitzvahs. Number 7 is universal, every person. Wow, you know, I children, this worked out, that worked out. I live in Eretz Yisrael. We are more obligated to thank Hashem. We have more to thank Hashem for than a person who doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael. Let's even talk about a person who tried and failed. We all know people who moved. I don't want to say back, because you don't move back, you move. You're supposed to be living here, you don't move back. And wow, and we made it. And so that guy moved to America, that guy moved to Canada, and I'm able to stay here. That obligates us. It obligates me to say thank you for that. So that's why chapter 7 develops the idea that the more you have, the more you feel blessed, the more it obligates you. Because the obligation is a thank you. That's why, that's the logic. Because the obligation is thank you, so the more you have, the more you have to say thank you. Bashmini number 8 is Gemach Lokas HaChachamim Be'echrech U'Betzedek. He talks about, because this is Avodas HaLokim, and he talks about the regular stuff too. So Bashmini is the easy topic of free will and divine providence and how that works out. How much free will do you have? But she is the secret soul Yitzhiras Amin Hanushi Bolam Azeb Derech Kitzara. Well, I forgot what it's about, but literally this means the mystery, the secret of the creation of the human species in this world. I think it goes through, like, what the Marishan Ha was supposed to be, and then what happened with Avram, etc. V'asiri b'sikra derech hashimish b'chol midim imidosu b'mekoma. That's an amazing parak, the time parak. We're talking about Avodas HaElokim. How to use each human trait appropriately. If laziness has its place, every emotion, every midah has its place in Avodas Hashem. That's what he's going to teach us in the 10th parak. No such thing as a good midah and a bad midah. Everything is how you use it. There are midos which are more easily used for good than for bad, but everything has its place. And if you're otzel, that has its place. Right? If you want to do an aveira, you should become very quickly an otzel. Okay, we'll start next week with the first.